Hello, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. This week, we start off in Salina, where we saw the Lady Bulldogs of Clay County lock up a first-round bye for their district tournament. And for a young team that wasn't sure of what they could achieve this year, it certainly has Coach Matthew Walker fired up for the postseason.
Very excited. It's what you worked all year for, and just hope you see some improvement.
So your team has grown more than just about any other team in the area. Is that just due to the growing confidence in your young players?
Yeah, I think so. It's just getting some time on the court. And I always like to contribute it to our depth as well. You know, we've got everybody has five good players. You know, even the worst team in the state has five decent players. And I think our ability to have some girls off the bench to really push us at practice has helped kind of spur our growth.
So let's talk about that the Red Boiling Springs game then. You trail by two heading into the fourth, and much like you did against Clark Range, your team shows up in the big moments and wins the fourth quarter by a 19-10 margin. What was the biggest difference in that quarter versus the rest of the game for you?
We just made some plays on the stretch. Our point guard, Rachel Copas, made a big three. Cherokee Upton come off the bench, made a big three. And then Lauren Weaver had an offensive rebound tip to Eliza Jenkins for a big basket. And all those was probably the last 2 minutes of the game. So we just made plays the last couple minutes.
It seems like a lot of your players kind of have this understanding at a young age that a lot of other players don't have, of that it's the little things that you have to do to win games that maybe don't show up in the stat book. Is that something that's really impressed you this year from your team?
I wish we had a better understanding of that. But, yeah, I think that's something that I really try to focus on, that not everybody's going to score every game. I don't care if we win by scoring 70 points, if we win by scoring, 30 points. Defense matters, rebounding matters, boxing out matters, every possession matters.
And Briley gives you another double-double. Is there anything that she does at this point that surprises you?
No, not really. You know, just the biggest thing for her is how hard she plays, sometimes to her own detriment by running through some people and getting some charges and over the backs for offensive rebounds. But she's just got a great motor and plays hard all the time.
So let's talk about Kelsey next, because she's in a very unique situation as the only senior on this team. She comes off the bench, and I feel like while not a lot of other seniors might like that, she looks as if she's handled it really, really well. What's her best quality as a player to you?
I just think she's a leader. She's a great young lady, and she's a leader. She's played with most of these girls through AAU and 4 years of high school now, so she's played with a lot of them. So I think she's got a good relationship in the locker room, and like I said, her leadership, she's a leader on and off the court. She's a salutatorian for our class, so she gets it done, and the players just all kind of look up to her.
So with her handling that situation of being the only senior off the bench, how is it in your eyes that she's handled it just so well?
I think it goes back to her character and the relationship that she has with myself as well as her younger teammates. You know, she supports them. It's players that she's played with in the past, so she knows that those girls that's playing ahead of her are very skilled as well, and she wants to see them succeed so she can have success as well.
The Lady Bulldogs aren't the only team in Salina making some noise, as the Bulldogs have secured themselves a double bye for their district tournament as well. How have they done that? Simple, by winning 10 of their last 11 games.
Night in, night out, the kids play hard, and aggressive on both ends of the floor for the most part.
And I know that you guys have been a team that's built on defense. In these games, you've only given up more than 55 points one time. What's the team doing so well on defense?
Well, I think we do a pretty good job of identifying the other team's best scorers and trying to take those guys away for the most part. We try to take away what other teams do best and what they like to do, and that's just typically what we generally focus on when we're putting together a game plan.
Are there any individual players you're looking at right now as they're kind of leading this charge on defense?
Well, again, it's a team effort most nights. If you wanted me to pick out a best defender, it would probably be Gunner Silk, would probably be our best perimeter defender. He usually guards the other team's best player, unless the best player is a post player, and in that case, it's Jake Ashlock. And then guys like Grant and Jeff and Mason, they all pitch in, and they guard their guy, but they sometimes, if we need a double team or something like that, then those are the guys that come take care of that.
So you mentioned Jeff. He's actually the first player I really wanted to talk about. Every time I've gotten a box score the last few games, it seems like he's done a pretty solid job at making an impact on the game. Is he getting hot at the right time for you guys?
He is. He struggled with his shot early in the year, and around Christmas time it started coming around. I think he just adjusted to the high school game for the most part, you know, being able to get his shot off a little bit quicker. And and he's also been a good defender on the other end for us. You know, he's long, and his length really helps him, and he kicks in with a big-time offensive rebound from time to time. And he does a lot of different things pretty well.
So how much pressure does that relieve on players like Jake and Mason and Grant when you've got Jeff shooting the ball well?
It helps a lot. You know, I mean, if Jeff makes 3 or 4 threes a game, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off of Jake having to finish inside, and off of Grant having to drive it and get his own shot and create for other people, and you know, off of Mason and Gunner having to make shots. So it's big when you have a guy step up like Jeff has in the past few weeks.
So Grant is next, as far as who I want to talk about, because you know he's obviously had an all district type season at least. I find it crazy whenever I see him play that he's seriously only a sophomore. Where do you see that potential for his game to grow even more, though?
Well, Grant's one of the best offensive players I've ever coached. He can get a little bit better on defense. He's another kid that's long. Can use his length to help him a lot, and that's what he does in most situations. His three-point shot, he's got to work on his three-point shot a little bit, but just as far as being a pure scorer, he's probably as good as anybody in our district or region as far as that goes.
When you look at him as a defender, is it mainly just him needing to get a little bit lower to guard smaller players, or is it just getting a little bit quicker?
Well, it's just I don't know that it's one thing in particular. It's his first year of really playing at the high school level, and again adjusting to that the quickness level of some of the players he's having to guard. In that three spot, that's a little bit difficult for him.
When we come back, we head on over to Jamestown to talk to York Institute Dragonette head coach Michael Green. This is the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Welcome back into the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. The York Dragonettes currently sit at third place in their district, despite a rough patch that's seen them lose 4 of their last 6 games. Head coach Michael Green attributes that to their tough schedule and their youth in the starting lineup.
Well, you know, we've had a really tough schedule. I think probably like the second or third toughest in AA. I think it's probably more, you know, where we played, we play a lot of freshmen and sophomores and, you know, inexperienced players. I think, you know, maybe we've just kind of hit a little wall. We had a pretty rough 3-game stretch there, and then had Smith County and kind of got back on track. And then, of course, we played Macon Friday night, and they're, you know, number one team in the state. And we didn't play well there. Hopefully we're getting it out of our system, and by the time the district tournament rolls around, we'll be back on track.
When you have a young team like this, how important is it, though, that to play that tougher schedule to kind of force players to grow up a little bit more?
It's been pretty brutal. I think they've grown and overcame a lot of adversity. And, you know, every night, you know, for the most part, we're playing some of the top teams in the state, whether they be AAA with Stone and Cookville. And then, of course, our district's just – between Macon and Efferman, there's two more top teams in the state. And then, you know, from three to eight going down in our district, it's pretty, you know, any night anybody can win. So we're having to be ready every night. We've had a little off, you know, we've struggled a little bit knocking some shots down. But as soon as we get back to shooting the ball like we can, I think we're going to be okay.
It seems like this team also really runs on defense, and that showed against Cannon County when you hold them to 3 points in the first quarter and you're able to stretch out that lead a little bit. Is your team kind of learning through this tough schedule that, you know, you have to be consistent at that end of the floor as well as on offense?
I've preached from day one, you know, we're going to have off nights offensively just because we're so young and really don't have, you know, just – 2 or 3 just knockdown shooters. So we're going to struggle offensively. But I've told them as long as we're doing what we're supposed to defensively, we're going to have a chance to compete every night. And, you know, during a couple of our offensive slumps. We've not done real well defensively, but even on the nights when we've been off, if we're playing defense like we're supposed to for four quarters, we've still got a chance to compete.
One player I feel like we haven't talked about at all this year is Sage, and she's given you some really big games at times this year. So tell me about her a little bit. What's the biggest strength that you feel she brings to the team as an individual?
When defensively, you know, she's one of our better defenders. And when she's on, we're pretty tough. She's struggled a little bit here lately, as most other players we have. But you know, we really count on her. If she's on her A game, we're hard to play with. We can get her bringing the ball up and, you know, handling the ball and kind of getting it out of Haley's hands a little bit more, and try to create some for her. And, you know, when she's hitting a shot, she's hitting her outside shots and, you know, being aggressive offensively, we're pretty good.
I know that you've kind of been searching for that consistent second scorer behind Haley. Sometimes it's been Gabby, sometimes it's been Ellie, and sometimes it's been Sage. Is there a chance, though, that Sage could end up being that in the long run?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, with all of them, I've told them, I was like, y'all can, you know, do anything you want to. Right now, it's kind of a mental block that we're trying to get over, confidence, whatever it may be. But I've told them, you know, you control that. If you've had a good game once, you can have a good game again. And, you know, but until we get to doing that consistently, it's going to be hard for us to be very good. But, you know, hopefully here in the next week or so, we'll get on track. And if we can get all four or five on the same page and playing good, I think we'll be hard to handle.
Next, we head on over to Smithville, where the DeKalb County Tigers are currently sixth in their district. Despite the rough season thus far, head coach John Sanders acknowledges that his team has shown a lot of growth over the course of this season.
Well, we've done a better job not turning the ball over as the season's gone on. You know, just getting better in that category has been good. You know, unfortunately, it hasn't translated into wins. We haven't shot the ball that well lately, but I've been pleased to see us get better in that area. I think some of our younger guys are starting to get a little more settled in and used to playing and having to be contributors.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question was, do you feel like some of that, like the struggles with the turnovers, could some of that be attributed to just how young your team is right now?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a lot of it, you know, guys that are just young and inexperienced, you know, and just not, you know, just haven't ever played in that situation before. But I think they're getting more used to playing and having to be depended on. So I think, you know, they're getting better at that.
So looking back at a game last week, I know you got a chance to start some of your seniors on senior night. How cool was it for you as a head coach to see some guys that maybe don't get the kind of shine or playing time that your other players get a chance to start and get some good playing time in?
Yeah, you know, it was really cool, especially to see how our team reacted, especially, you know, for the two twins, you know, Colin and Rylan. Ray, who, you know, don't normally get a lot of playing time, they both started and actually played pretty well for a little, you know, for a while and contributed. It was fun to see our guys get excited for them, the crowd get excited for them. You know, I think they really enjoyed it. And, you know, I just sort of talked to them before the game about enjoy the moment, you know, just play hard, don't worry about, you know, messing up or anything, and do the best you can. And I thought they did a good job of taking advantage of that and you know, played pretty well.
And it had to be cool, especially just to see them actually contribute. You know, it's one thing to see these guys get to run out of the tunnel during intros and seeing them get to play, period. But the fact they also got to score and make something of an impact on the game, that had to be cool to see too, right?
Yeah, it was. I was really happy for them, you know, because they, you know, this is only their second year to play organized basketball, and so they both come a long way, and I was just really proud for them that they got to experience that. And like you said, not just running through a tunnel and playing for a minute, but actually getting to, you know, contribute and feel like they, you know, helped the team out, you know.
When the high school playbook returns, we head on over to Livingston, where Matthew Sells' hot start on Tuesday's game wasn't enough for the win against York Institute. This is the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Welcome back to the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. The Livingston Academy Wildcats fell to the York Dragons on Tuesday a game where star guard Matthew Sells had it going in the first quarter and put up 16 points to keep the game close. Even though they went on to lose the game, it didn't deter head coach Jimmy Miller's positivity about the heart and hustle that his team has played with all season long.
I like the energy they started the game with. I think we really focused and executed our game plan offensively. I think defensively we actually executed our game plan. It just came down to York being able to make some very tough shots over the defensive opponents where they're in the correct positions that we need them in. That just a testament to how good they are.
Have you ever seen someone take over a quarter like Matthew did with his 16-point first quarter last night?
That was impressive. It got to the point where we just kind of had to sit down and just let him go because he really, really showed out in that quarter. I wish he could have sustained a little more consistency in that second and third, but, you know, he expended a lot of energy in that first quarter. And it kept us in the game because I think, you know, we had Matthew really, really shooting well and scoring the wheel, and they had about four guys doing the same, so it was able to match that and keep the game close at that time when we needed it to be.
At this point, you know, you've coached him for so long. Is there anything he does that surprises you anymore?
You would think not, but then when he makes shots like he did last night, you just sit down and shake your head. Look, your coach can do it, and you just say, wow, and the kid can just continue to impress.
I think the thing that stands out most to me about Matthew Sells is that he's a player that he revolves a lot around jump shooting, but he doesn't shy away from contact. And for his game being as polished as it is, he's only a junior. Like, where could his game possibly grow?
You know, I think physically, and I think he's gotten a lot better at this year. But the thing that I continue to, as I'm talking to a college coach about Matthew or someone that's not really familiar that we need to continue to remind people is that Matthew's close to breaking the 2,000-point mark, and he's just 16 years old. And that's what a lot of people didn't realize is his age. He doesn't turn 17 until the school's out. So he will pretty much graduate as a 17-year-old. So he's a year behind age-wise of everyone else, and he's still able to do the things he does. I think for a boy in high school, for how much they mature each year physically, makes that even more impressive.
Another thing we've talked about all year is just how tough this district is, and it's very tough. It's tough from top to bottom. There, anybody can beat anybody on a nightly basis. How tough is it for you as a coach to game plan for every night when you're playing a district matchup? You know you're going to get the other team's best shot.
It's nonstop work. It is nonstop work because I think one thing about our district is we have strong opposing coaches in our district that I think they work and game plan really hard for every game. And if you don't do the same, I think you could really end up in a bad position by the end of the season. And so, you know, the one thing I've been proud about these guys, you know, we've lost the district games, but we've been right there in every one that we've dropped. We've given ourselves opportunities to be in the games and even win the games if we can make some more shots down the stretch.
Now we head on to Baxter, where the third-ranked Upperman Lady Bees are rolling on a six-game winning streak. That run was added to last night when Tori Brooks caught fire and went for 26 points on 8 made threes against Cannon County.
Well, I think, you know, for Tori, that's a fairly common day. She's had many games where she's hit, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 threes. You know, she hit 11 one time last year. So, you know, we're always confident that, you know, Tori can make that kind of impact on the game.
She's given you two games with 8 threes this year, and it feels like when I've seen y'all play, it feels like she just kind of has that clutch gene of being able to make big shots in big moments. Is that just a product of her being confident as a shooter? Is that kind of the free range you give her as a shooter? What contributes to that?
Well, you know, Tori's a great shooter, and you know, her teammates do a great job trying to find her. She does, you know, have the freedom to take shots as she feels comfortable. She's a junior now, and she's a very team-oriented player. So she rarely takes a bad shot. You know, if you watch the game, she's rarely taking a bad three. She knows when, you know, it's a good time, when it's not. And, you know, she's shooting almost 44% for the season, which is, you know, an incredible percentage from 3-point line.
It seems like when I've seen you guys play in person, it seems like a lot of times she does a lot of her damage in the third quarter. I've seen a lot of games in person where, you know, she'll kind of spend the first half maybe kind of seeing what the defense is giving her and taking what they give her. And then the third quarter, it seems like she's found a way to exploit it. Is that something you see as well?
Well, you know, I think she hit four threes last night in the first half and four in the second half. But she does do a good job of letting the game come to her, so she doesn't try to force anything. So she's a kid who, you know, is completely happy if she's getting the assist.
You've got on your roster one of the best post tandems in the area with Ashlyn and Abigail. Has there ever been a thought to play those two together on the court, or do you more value being a little bit quicker than the other team?
Well, I think there's obviously that's something that we can do is to put both of them out there on the floor. The thing for us is that, you know, Ashlyn got hurt early on in the season, second or third game of the season, and had to miss until late January. So we've not had an opportunity, honestly, to be able to experiment as much as we would have liked to with both of them on the floor. Had Ashlyn not been hurt, I feel like that would have been something that we would already be utilizing more.
Abigail, I don't know if it's because of that or just because she's a good player. I'm sure it's because she's a good player. But Abigail has had a very, very good freshman year. And I think what's crazy about it is that she still has so much more room to grow. What part of her game do you see her really expanding on kind of further on into her career?
Well, you know, she's had a great freshman year. We had to ask a lot of her when, you know, your senior post player, three-year starter, goes down early in the season. And all of a sudden, as a freshman, you've got to jump into the lineup. So, you know, I think for her, the sky's the limit. I mean, she's going to get better and better on the offensive end and the defensive end. And, you know, as I've always said, defensively, I think is the toughest part for freshmen coming in.
We'll remain in Baxter when we come back as we speak with Bees coach Bobby McWilliams. This is the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Welcome back to the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. The Upperman Bees are on a tear of their own, winning 13 games in a row, and they are outscoring teams by 30 points a game. One key ingredient has been their bench play, as Coach Bobby McWilliams notes that all of his players are ready to play as soon as the game tips off.
Well, for one, they're good players. That helps. But two, I think they understand their role, and I think they also realize that not just me, but the other players on the floor that they're coming on the floor with have complete confidence in them. And I think that gives them a bit of a peace or they're at ease while they're on the floor so they can play to their strengths for sure. That, you know, probably most likely just confidence level for them and knowing that the rest of the team, including the coaching staff, has complete confidence in what they're doing. They've been able to build on that.
One thing that really stands out to me about this team, and, you know, there's a lot of positives, the depth scoring, the high IQ of every player, there's a lot of positives about this team. One that has stuck out the last few weeks to me has been just this team doesn't panic. You know, if you get off to a slow start on offense, if it's a close game in the second half, I think about the York game, I think about the start to the DeKalb game, there was no panic in either of those games. Is that this team's greatest overall strength when you look at it?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a big benefit. And I think, you know, our experience and finally being able to have a you know, dominant upperclassman group of kids. These kids have all been through this league. Now this is their third time and their third season. So I think they understand that, you know, what being, you know, how to be realistic about expectations. And sometimes you lose sight of that. You know, if you play well early and have, you know, get some big leads and you're up by 20 at half, you can kind of lose sight of what's reality. And they've stayed well grounded and they understand that. As a coaching staff, we try to make sure that they do understand and stay with that same mentality about, you know, just doing what's expected of them and staying the course. And I think leadership is getting so much better. I think, but like I said, you know, we're upperclassmen, juniors and seniors, mostly all playing, and as a result of that, it's I think that carries over into the games, and you know, we've been able to not have panic, and that's as a coach is what you want, because you're not going to play well every time, every night, every session. So, but we're trying to make sure we stay the course and keep our heads up, you know, level and knows the grindstone and keep just doing what we do and keep working, getting better.
So you're currently on a 12-game winning streak, and you've won by an average margin of 31 points in those games. How is it that your team has not just beaten teams, but you've thoroughly dominated them in just about every aspect of the game?
Well, first of all, we didn't realize that was the margin, and I didn't, and I'm sure my kids don't either. We really don't talk about it. We just taking it one game at a time, one quarter at a time, one possession at a time. You know, I think our depth is probably what's enabled that to happen. There's been several games up there that, you know, have not been a 30 or 40 point game, but, you know, maybe with 3 or 4 minutes left, we subbed and another team subbed, and our bench is able to outscore theirs by 6, 8, or 10, and it gets it from 20 to 30 or 25 to 35 or whatever. But anyway, you know, I think we have depth. We have good players on the bench. I've got good players that are not even getting into the games right now. They're just, you know, it is what it is. We play a, you know, a deep bench, but I've got kids down there that are going to be ready to play in a year or two, and we're looking forward to seeing what they can do in the future as well.
I think another stat that really sticks out to me in this streak is you haven't given up 50 points in a game since the start of it. What's the team doing so well on defense?
Well, they play hard for one. You know, that was a big focus for us coming in this year, was really making sure that we were better on both sides of the ball. And defense has been a top priority for us. We focused on it, you know, majority of the time. And I think that was an area we really needed to get better in. And I feel like we have. I go back and watch film, and I feel like there's tons of things we got to do better if we're going to, you know, continue to progress. But I think their willingness to buy into it, the kids just understanding how important it is, and being committed to working every day and that kind of thing. You know, for an avid basketball fan that enjoys watching games, if you got a chance to see these kids practice, that's worth the price of admission to a game. It's they get after it every day, and you know, so that I think that's why we've been able to progress the way we have. Hopefully, we'll continue to do that.
You know, we could talk a lot about how execution is one of the keys to success, and it is a huge key to success. But does proper preparation for games sometimes kind of go overlooked as important ingredients for winning in championship teams?
Well, sure. I mean, you have to be prepared. You know, there's a lot of things that goes into that. You know, a lot of it to the scout, a lot of it to, you know, to preparing your body as far as, you know, your conditioning, making sure you're eating right and sleeping right and getting all the things you need in your body that requires you to perform. And I think the kids have, you know, for 16, 17-year-old kids, I think for the most part, they have bought into that and they understand that. That's, but I also, you know, game-wise, you've got to look at, you know, preparing for scout reports. But then, you know, we try to make sure we get ourselves ready as well. We want to do the things we do along with trying to counter what the other teams do. And so we spend, you know, quite a bit of time on both ends of the floor when we prep for games. You know, we feel like that's really important for us.
So let's talk about Colin then, because he was really, really solid against DeKalb. He puts up 20 points on offense, but he really wreaked havoc on defense too with 6 steals. Does he serve as one of those tone setters for you at that end of the floor as the point guard?
Absolutely. You know, you watch, if you're behind him in defense and you watch the intensity and the effort that he's giving, it's kind of hard not to play hard. I mean, when a kid like that's giving that much effort, you know, and then so that kind of snowballs or it grows within the team. I think, you know, his intensity is as good as anybody's in the States. I mean, that's anybody. And that feeds on the rest of these kids. You know, so that does set a tone for us, how hard he plays. And the rest of it's got to be carried through the rest of our lineup, and it has been.
So moving on to another guy in the lineup that I think is really important, that in the floor. One thing I heard a coach say earlier in the year is that a lot of kids in high school tend to look at the scoring side of a scorebook or a stat book, but not the defensive side of it, and the great players will often look at the defensive side first. I feel like Donovan really portrays that well for you guys, because he's not a guy that really puts up a ton of stats, but he does all the little things well when you watch him play. And I remember you mentioning that at the start of the year. How important is that?
Sure, he does. He is such a big addition to our team this year, coming back after a year off. People don't realize how important players like that are. And he's took on that role. A lot of people around here probably don't remember Donovan as a younger player when he played in junior high. He was a good basketball player then as well. He also was probably the team's leading the scorer and leading as this guy. He was their best offensive player. He's still a good offensive player when he wants to be, but he just does what's necessary for this team to win. He's been getting better, a bit more aggressive, and we want him to do that. So hopefully within the next 2 weeks, people will see a little different side of him, even on the offensive end. But he's really embellished that role of being a good defensive player and amongst other things he does for us out there. So we're tickled to death that he's having a year that he is. He's having a great year for us, and hopefully we'll continue that through the tournament.
When we return for the final segment of the High School Playbook, we talk to White County head coach Eric Mitchell about his Warriors who locked up the district title on Tuesday against Ray County. This is the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. And welcome back into the final segment of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. We finish up our show today in Sparta, where head coach Eric Mitchell's Warriors locked up the district title on Tuesday with a 70-57 win over Ray County.
It feels really good. I'm really proud for these young men. They worked really hard, and we've played some good basketball here of late, and that's kind of the time you need to be playing it.
And I know that last night your team got off to a really, really good start in that first quarter. What do you think your team did well in that opening frame?
We rebounded well, we defended well, and we made shots. And then got up to, I think we're up 20-4 after one, and just kind of relaxed a little bit and then couldn't make a shot. And Ray County's much improved team over the last couple weeks. And, it was their senior night, and we just kind of let them back in the game. And it was kind of a dogfight after that. So, anytime that you, that's why they play the game. Anytime that you go on the road and it's somebody's emotional night for them, they tend to play a little faster, play a little better. So, but we weathered the storm and locked up the district. And I'm really proud of these kids.
You know, you look at the standings for your district, coach, and it's clear that your district has been a battle all season long. You know, from the top to the bottom, there's really no weak points. How tough is it to prepare for these for good teams night in and night out?
Well, it's tough. I mean, but everybody knows everybody now, and everybody's played everybody twice. I think for the exception of us and Warren, we've played each other three times. But the advantage we have this year is that it's at the district and region, at Sparta. So, we're looking forward to it. It's the first time, I think, that we've had the region since 1980 or 82. So, we hope we're playing in it. But, that other region's awfully tough well. But, preparations now, as somebody, they say, the hay's in the barn. You just got to go execute and knock down shots and play defense.
Let's say you were to make it to the region. How much of an advantage is it having it at home, knowing how great your crowd is?
You can't put it into words. It's a huge, huge advantage, and our crowd, they show up every night, and we've had a really strong tradition for years and years, and the gym's really loud, and you've been here. It's a tough place to play, so we hope that's a big advantage for us.
When you look at the regular season as a whole up to this point, coach, do you feel like your players as a team have met your expectations of where you thought they would be at this point?
Yeah, I think so. Now we've had a couple of hiccups on the road, that we didn't play very well, and for whatever reason that is, being a road game or whatever. Other than that, yeah, I think we've improved throughout the season, and we've got the fourth segment of the basketball season to go, starting the tournament after Friday. So we got to keep working hard and stay injury free, and hope we come to play every night, because you're going to have to in this district and region.
I don't think it's much of a secret that Grant's been a big-time player all year long, but he mentioned to me before the year that one thing he wanted to improve on was as a defender. Have you seen him improve on that aspect of the game?
I have. He's really improved as a defender. Of course, we've played a lot of zone in the past, and now we're playing a lot more man-to-man. When you practice every day, you get better at it, and he's such a good athlete. He can be out of position and still make the play. So, but yes, he's improved tremendously. He's also, he leads us about in every at every category as a team. So, you know, his assist went up, his shooting percentages went up, his defensive reboundings went up, you know, his offensive reboundings went up. So he's continued to improve throughout the season.
So looking at just the regular season ends, you know, on Friday, and then you've got district after that, who are a couple players besides Grant that you know you're going to need to step up and produce even more than they already have if you want to make a run to state?
Well, you know, all of them as a team, you know, you want them to step up. Mason Winningham, you know, he wound up last night, you know, hitting two or three threes in a row that kind of sealed it for us. You know, of course, Grant can score, you know, a busted play. Grant can score at will. And then, of course, Kagan Dawson, he's really been, you know, the kind of the floor general and his speed and quickness. And then, of course, Tate Clark's been steady. He's the gridiron man. He does everything dirty, takes charges, rebounds, you know, usually guards their toughest post player. And then Tanner Paul and Tucker Nash have got to play their role. And then Austin Burchett's back, and we got to get him back in rhythm and play, you know, doing his thing. So, you know, we want all of them to do that.
Thank you all for listening to the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Tune in every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock and follow all Upper Cumberland sports action every day at ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Ford. For Justin Matheny, I'm Rusty Ellis.